And we appreciate you listening to Closer Look here on 90.1 WABE, Atlanta's choice for NPR. I'm Jim Burris.
And I'm Rose Scott. This is a familiar sound, Jim Burris, that can be heard all throughout the metro area. Pick a neighborhood, and there's construction. Pick a neighborhood, and there's concerns about affordable housing. This is a sound of development in the Midtown neighborhood.
And more specifically, the location is the corner of 10th and Juniper. And if you've got the image of a fancy new high-rise condominium under construction, think again. Perhaps it's the headquarters of a new tech business. It's not that either. Instead, that noise comes from a facelift now underway of an older building. Many of you probably driven, walked, or jogged past 10th and Juniper. Never really knew who lived inside.
Well, the building is owned by the Atlanta Housing Authority, or AHA. It's one of 13 public housing assistant residential properties AHA owns and operated. Now, of those 13, 11 are senior high-rise communities and 2 are small family communities. And residents of the high-rise communities are elderly, age 62 or older, or we like to say aging, and some non-elderly disabled adults. Now, as part of Closer Look's Affordable Housing series, senior producer Candace and Wheeler and I were given hard hats and safety glasses as we got a glimpse inside the renovation. Now, in this next piece, you'll hear a lot of different voices. The developer, Columbia Residential, the construction firm, J.M. Wilkerson, and officials with the Atlanta Housing Authority. But our tour begins with this guy.
My name is Tom Hohenstein, and I'm the Vice President for Real Estate Oversight and Services. And so I oversee the property management of the properties as well as the construction going on.
I want to start with you. What's the process for even deciding what building, what facility, a project that needs to be upgraded before y'all even get to this stage, which is the construction? Why was this building chosen?
Well, we have 13 properties the Atlanta Housing Authority owns. And we're all funded by HUD. And one of the challenges is having enough funding to do all the capital improvements work to keep the properties viable. And so HUD has recently established a new program. It's called RAD. It's the Rental Assistance Demonstration Program that enables us to convert the properties and do the rehab necessary. And all of our properties are managed by our development partners. They're a management company as well as a development partner. When we brought them on board, we brought them on board with the idea that they would manage the company and do the development plans to make sure they could keep the properties viable for the next 20 years. So when each of our development partners, we worked with them to prioritize the properties based on need. And really when it came down to why Juniper is first, is Juniper is probably the most needy of our properties. It has the most issues that we wanted to get under construction as well too. So it was a conversation between us and our developer partner Juniper to come up, or Columbia to come up with doing Juniper.
Tell me what some of those issues were.
Some of the biggest challenges with Juniper that we've had is, number one, is the windows. These are original windows, and they're single-pane windows, so they don't have the energy efficiency. While we try to maintain and keep them sealed, residents would complain about breezes in them. The other problem is we've done significant work to try to do the capital improvements to keep that up, but the building systems and trying to get to the building systems and do the work necessary. So there's the plumbing, that's the original plumbing, the electrical systems that are all original as well too, and then the mechanical systems as well too. So as we had to look at all that, we wanted to get those systems in place because they're really beyond their life cycle, get those replaced, and then what other things we could do as far as cosmetics and quality of life to improve the residents. One of the things we talked about as we took this opportunity going into the units is to reconfigure the units so while there's not much more space, it's just more roomy and able people to enjoy the
time. How old is this building?
This building was built in 1974.
And it's always been
It's always been affordable housing. It was built, and it's 100% affordable housing.
How many units are we talking about?
We have 149 units.
And the square footage?
The square footage of the units? There's a multiple place of units, but they range somewhere between 400 and 550 square feet. We have, there's efficiencies that are the ones that are in the 400 unit, and there's 83 efficiencies, and then there's 86 efficiencies and 63 one-bedroom units.
All right, well, let's go see what you guys got going on. Does HUD have specific requirements when it comes to affordable housing in terms of square footage and what must be included?
That's a good question.
One of the biggest issues that we have to deal with now as far as we did our construction and the guidelines, as we applied for tax credits from the state, the Department of Community Affairs of the state, and they have regulations on the work that has to be done, the size of the kitchens, and all that. But as far as the square footage per room, I'm not sure if there's a minimum. I don't know if we had to put a waiver in for DC. I think we had to put a waiver in because this is the building that we have.
So take me through what's going to change in this type of unit. What needs to be done? You talked about the windows weren't.
All right. So one of the biggest issues, the first issues, is the windows. You can see these are the old windows, single pane, no energy efficiency. They're all being replaced. And one of the big issues along with that is the insulation of the building and the facade. It'll have a brand new facade. If you look down here, that's a PTAC, a package terminal air conditioning unit. It's just the heating and the air conditioning. That's being replaced. So we have the air conditioning taken care of as well too. As far as the rooms go, the kitchens are being remodeled. We're putting kitchen cabinets in and new kitchen cabinets. We're expanding the space and the amount of cabinet space is going in. And then it's really all the plumbing behind the sinks, they're putting new bathrooms in as well too. And it's the plumbing behind all that that's important as well. And so then all the
floors.
Yeah, the floors will be, now you'll see different stages of different floors that we put in over the years. But yeah, floors will be replaced, be painted, and so the whole unit will be upgraded.
Do you have an idea how much it costs per unit? I know you say each unit is different, but is there just an average price that you all
can have? For the cost of this rehab, our construction costs are about $98,000 per unit.
So think about that. At $9,000 per unit, you're talking about replacing everything you see internally to the building.
Including that very nice ceiling
fan. Absolutely. So exterior wall, all the windows, all plumbing systems, all heating and air conditioning, so the most expensive parts of the building, all kitchens, all bathrooms, those types of things. If we had to replace the infrastructure itself, you'd probably be looking at $150,000 a unit in hard construction costs. So preserving that $50,000 per unit in the structure itself is pretty significant.
When did y'all start this construction or rehab?
The rehab, we had to vacate all the residents out of the property, and we finished that in October, and then we started construction in November.
When you vacate residents, what does that mean? Where do they go? Because they're here, obviously, because they need the assistance, and it's affordable housing.
Yeah. So as far as the relocation, we worked with Columbia Residential and provided a relocation plan in accordance with our HUD requirements, but for the 141 people that were here when we moved, we moved them, we paid for the move for them, and we'll pay for them to move back. Everybody that moved out has the opportunity to move back. We put, let me make sure I got my numbers right.
So go ahead.
All right, so we've got about 141 folks in here when we went to start the relocation process. And of that, the majority of the folks either moved to affordable housing, either owned or sponsored by AHA, or Columbia. Columbia opened up a bunch of the apartments and their other residents they moved in as well, too. We also had almost 30 folks that took our housing choice voucher. So they were able to take a voucher and go anywhere in the city they wanted to live. Or some of them, or two of those, actually chose and went to be with family. I think one went to Florida, and I think the other one went to Texas or something like that.
Of those residents, what's the percentage in terms of senior citizens and those that are disabled?
It's about a 20% split that we have that are 55 and above. About 80% of our residents are 55 and above, and then the other 20% are younger disabled.
As you take us through this floor, I imagine there's always a waiting list to get into a facility like this.
There are always waiting lists to get into our facilities, and we, as Tom said, we don't have a lot of turnover in these types of facilities. And so not only maintaining these facilities, but making sure that we're making every effort to increase the amount of facilities like this, where you can live in a great neighborhood, but also at a very affordable rate. And given the fact that the Housing Authority is so thoughtful about how we calculate that 30% of your income, so we take into account basic living expenses. We're not here to see our seniors fail. We're here to make sure that they, in fact, can afford to both live and take care of their basic needs, but also pay their rent.
And then in these rooms now, this is the living room and the bedroom. There'll be a partial dividing wall in the middle that'll separate the two. We walked through the kitchen over here, so you open into the
the door and you're into a kitchen that'll have more cabinet space and be more open than it was before. And then this also, this layout allows for better airflow, which is one of the problems that we had in the past configuration. The units are configured pretty much the same way, but the one bedrooms are a little bit larger than the efficiencies that we paid for.
Why Wilkerson Construction?
Our partnership is actually with Columbia Residential. So we solicited four property management development firms, and Columbia Residential is one of the three firms that we selected, and Columbia Residential was specifically selected for Juniper and 10.
So Wilkerson came through a procurement process where we worked with several contractors to get a sense of what will it take to do a complete renovation of the building. We ultimately chose them for their background expertise, long-term commitment to Atlanta, local contractor, their knowledge of the marketplace, and more specifically their knowledge of concrete structures. That's a primary expertise at J.M. Wilkerson. And so when you're doing a massive renovation like this, you can get yourself into lots of trouble along the way. So having experts who have dealt with it before.
We also have done almost a dozen of similar projects that are HUD funded or mixed funded.
So you're a pro is what you're saying.
I would like to say we're a pro at this type of a project, yes.
I'm curious because as you know with government contracts and the city of Atlanta has stipulations and with contracts about minority fair representation. Is that something also that you found in Wilkerson as well?
Yes, and our contract with Wilkerson requires them to produce minority business enterprises as part of their subcontracting base. There are goals and percentages that are expected to occur within the contract structure. In addition, we have a Section 3 program where there's involvement in training people for new positions in the construction environment. And again, it's an experience circumstance. And in the 25 years we've been doing this, we have found few contractors who are really good at that. And so, that's sort of the way it works.
And on this too, Wilkerson has partnered with Sovereign Construction Development. They've done a lot of work with them, and they're a minority firm that they've done a couple $1 million worth of projects.
Sovereign Development and Construction is our Section 3 partner. They're a construction entity that's local to Atlanta that is both a Section 3 and a MBE, Atlanta MBE, as well as DeKalb County and DOT MBE. This will be the eighth project that we've done with that group in a partnership component. They help us facilitate the Section 3 employees, training programs, outreach programs to some of the various subcontractors. And then we also, being in the Atlanta market for over 38 years, we have other resources for both minority-owned, women-owned, disadvantaged businesses, as well as HUD-based funding components.
Who wants to answer the money question? How much is all of this going to cost for this facility? Don't everybody jump at it once.
Yes. So the total development cost on this was just over $22 million.
When it comes to what affordable housing is supposed to be, I mean, we know simplistically listening to it, oh yeah, it's affordable housing. But when you talk about affordable housing in an urban city, a metropolis like Atlanta, there are some challenges. How do you maneuver that so it's not a city that becomes haves and have-nots?
You have to be very thoughtful about it. So for the Housing Authority, what that's meant is that we have an ownership stake in our property. So by virtue of the fact that the Housing Authority owns a property at Juniper and 10th in the middle of downtown, that means that we can come in, we can work with our private sector partners, but we can ensure the affordability of this property over the long term. And just by virtue of that ownership interest, that's where we're going to make sure that this is not just a hip conversation that we're going to be having because the mayor is promoting it, but a conversation that we're going to be able to ensure that folks can, in fact, live here, residents can live here for the next 100 years.
So how do you also ensure that the look and the feel is also part of what's happening in Atlanta? Because there are developments everywhere. As someone recently said, on every corner there's a crane doing something. So how do you ensure that the look and the feel is part of what the city is also trying to do?
Columbia's commitment long-term is in place-based design, product, and long-term sustainability. So we work with architects and engineers that are fixated on that concept. So with the Housing Authority's assistance and their property, with design professionals who spend their time making their money designing and living in Atlanta, Georgia, and working with the neighborhood, we come up with a concept that meets the needs of the building, the community, and the ultimate residents. So a lot of effort is put into that particular thing. You know, you're talking about a 42-year-old building, so, you know, it looked like a 42-year-old institutional building, and now we're bringing it into, you know, 2016 to look more like a contemporary structure that fits what is happening in Midtown all around it.
All right, that's part one of Inside 10th and Juniper, looking at the $20 million plus renovation of an affordable housing community in Midtown Atlanta.